covered by that?
Would yard art be covered by that?
I don't know, when I really lose my sanity.
Yeah, 1 hour mass versus a 24 hour.
Sometime next year.
Exercise.
There's no rush.
It's not a problem. Let the private entity deal with it.
Give me something to eat.
All right. All right, it's time.
See, we don't want to talk about that because she's already accusing him of killing her trees on her own.
Yeah, it's not even funny.
Mark start the meeting.
So let's not throw out ideas.
Going on, Randy.
I'm gonna call our meeting to order. Will everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Mr. River.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. Mary, will you call the roll, please? Alfred.
Here.
Duber.
Here.
Barron.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Braverman.
Here.
Cluder.
Yes.
Perry.
Here.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to start our evening off tonight with a presentation from Molly Gebler of Chagrin Valley Chamber of Commerce. Molly, if you please use the microphone and introduce yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today. My name is Molly Gebler. I'm the executive director at the Chagrin Valley Chamber of Commerce. I took the role in December, and one of my goals was to make sure that we reached out to all 13 of the areas that the Chagrin Valley encompasses, and Orange is one of them. So I am just here to let you know that we're supporting all your businesses, your small businesses, and extending the chamber office to you. Let us know what you have going on in Orange. We'd love to promote it. We have a great traffic in our website and on our Facebook and on our social media. So if you have activities, I just actually grabbed something from here about your all the snow plowing and the things that are coming up in the winter season that will get up to our members. We just celebrate our 500th member, so we're a nice, strong chamber. So keep us informed. Also keep us informed on commercial property. We keep a list going. We get a lot of calls of people that want to bring business into the Chagrin Valley. So please let us know and keep us posted on that, and we can help with that the best that we can. Keep us posted with new businesses. If new businesses reach out to you, let us know. We'd like to reach out to them, do ribbon cutting, get some promotion, some advertising for them. And so contact us with any ideas that you have. We're here for you. We are the Chagrin Valley. Mayor was kind enough to spend her time with us a couple weeks ago at our lunch, where we had 7 out of our 13 mayors and representatives speak to our membership. So we're just here for you, and we just wanted you to know that we're here to support small business, and I just wanted to let you know that we're here.
Thank you.
Sure.
Two questions. Number one, would you like to have our quarterly newsletter mailed to you?
That'd be fantastic.
Okay, and a lot of our businesses are in the 122 zip code, so I think they belong to Beachwood.
Well, we can reach out to them and, you know, let them know we're here for them. This whole month of October, I'll be getting on the beaten path and just kind of visiting, getting out of Chagrin Falls, which is kind of sometimes what they think our chamber is, and it's not. We reach super long. We go to Woodmere is our furthest, then Bentleyville, South Russell, Newberry, Auburn. So we have a lot to offer, and we have a lot that small businesses can benefit from. And that's a matter of me getting out there and sharing that. I'm not putting that load on you at all. I just want you guys to know that we are here doing your work. If you hear new businesses, share us, and then, you know, we'll do our part with visiting them and letting them know that we're here for them. So that was just very simple. Just wanted to say hello and let you know if you need me. I know that Mayor has my email, and I'll get my email out to everybody. So reach out to us and let us know what we can do for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Mayor, do we have a link to the to their website on ours?
I don't think so.
Might be worth adding.
Please.
Thank you. thank you for being here and calling us about yourselves. Bye, Molly. And a reminder to council people, please use your microphones when you're speaking so it can be recorded, albeit inferiorly, but recorded. Our first order of business is ordinance 2014-16, an ordinance amending section 147.12A of the codified ordinances of Orange Village to clarify that employees earn 120 hours of sick leave per year prorated for each pay period. This is on for third reading tonight. We've been looking at this ordinance for a couple of months now, and we can vote on this tonight if you're all prepared to. Anybody have any, well, how about a motion first? Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Duber.
Well, are we?
And do you have a question, Mr. Braverman?
I just wasn't sure. We're in a special meeting. So
we're in a special meeting.
Okay.
And it's a fairly non-controversial kind of cleaning up our language type of ordinance. Does anybody have any questions to the ordinance?
Comment.
Okay. And Mary, will you call the roll?
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thanks. Next, moving on, an ordinance 2014-20, an ordinance amending various sections of Chapter 1327 of the Codified Ordinances of Orange Village to update fees and deposits and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading and tonight, and we have our building department here, if we need to speak to Mr. Schlechter.
Strichko,
excuse me. Sorry about that. And we got some backup in our packets too today. So did everybody, this is a great meeting to talk about this tonight since it'll be on for third reading next week. And we have him here. Does anybody have any comments?
Well, I just, I mean, where do the numbers come from? I mean, is there a specific source for the numbers?
Which numbers? The proposed or the
proposed? Yeah. Any, well, yeah, the proposed numbers.
The proposed numbers are the, you should have, I think, three packages.
Yeah.
Two are comparisons.
Yes.
And then there's one that's actually, like, it's just another way of the proposed fees. The comparisons should show surrounding communities, what their current fees are, and then the very last column would be the proposed. The third packet that you have is basically just the proposed in a simplified form that would be presented as the ordinance or the fee schedule.
Did I get the third packet?
So when you started, did you find us to be undercharging for our fees?
Yeah.
For certain things, I saw that there were undercharging. As you can see, at the top of any one of them, the abbreviations, obviously the communities that surround us to try and get us within the realm of what our surrounding communities are.
Could you just confirm what those columns are? Because I was a little confused. I know BW.
Orange Village, Beechwood, Moreland Hills, Bentleyville, and Pepper Pike is the residential one. And then on the non-residential or commercial is just Orange Village, Beechwood, and Pepper Pike. The reason the other two were not in this because they don't have a non-residential department. I will add, though, that since this started, Moreland Hills does have a non-residential building department now, and the proposed fees that are here are the exact same fee schedule that's there.
So were our fees lower overall?
Mostly overall in certain areas. If you do look through a lot of them, though, a lot of them didn't go up. Some of them stayed the same. Some of them went up minutely. You will notice in some of the columns, it'll either say NA or there's an X, meaning that it didn't even exist. So we're trying to kind of clean up some items, too, to alleviate questions that we get. Well, how much does this cost? And if it's not listed, it reverts back to miscellaneous because there's no other column when someone comes in to get that permit.
Estimate what kind of
impact this would have if these would have been collected in our last year of permits and fees?
That I did not know. I started basing it from going over the last, I think, 2011, 2012, and 2013, seeing what the deficit was in the building department. And I numbers over there, but I think it was $135,000 for 2011 and 2012, and then 2013 it was at like $106,000. But there was I believe that's when the former building commissioner went to part time, I believe, in that year. Okay. Well, he was only here the half of that year though, so we would only had him till August. So there was still $106,000 deficit at that point, and I think currently the first quarter there was about $25,000 deficit.
So do you anticipate this to be revenue neutral for your department with these new fees?
Will it neutral out the deficit? Is that, no. We'll still be in a, I mean, you would have to double your fees probably to get out of that hole. But I mean, a building department's not here to make money. We provide a service, but on the same token, I don't think you want to be digging a serious hole in that department.
So you don't have a real good sense exactly about how much this whole set of increases will affect that.
No, I don't. I'm sorry, I didn't really do a, you know, the fees range anywhere from they didn't go up 0% to I'd say an average 5 to 7, and there's some in there that actually are about a 20% increase. Because we were so low compared to the surrounding communities.
So it was mostly a benchmarking effort when you looked at the other communities, and
yes.
If somebody was charging a larger amount than we were, in most of these cases, you increased it, our rate
to what they were, or even in some cases still lower than what they were because we didn't want to jump.
I mean, do we agree with that? I'm not saying we're here to make money, but I mean, are we here to spend money in the building department? I mean, it sounds like what you're saying to me is that you want to coming up to the level some of the other communities are charging. And that may be relevant to what we're doing, but I think just as relevant is whether we want to provide fees for permits that make the department carry itself, conduct itself. I don't know why would we want to do that otherwise? I don't.
Yeah, we do it with the ambulance.
What does that mean?
We collect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not sure why we would, if Moreland Hills isn't charging enough, why should we not charge enough? That's what I'm asking, basically. What's that, well, I mean, what's important about?
It's not like they can go somewhere else and get it cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why should we break even? I mean, I'm not saying we should have a profit center, but these numbers don't strike me as a profit center situation.
In that profit and loss statement, did you include things like contractor fees and snowplow permits and things like that? Does that get charged or credited, I should say, as a revenue source to the building department?
No, the contractor fees did.
What are we doing?
So I was going to say the building department does have responsibility for things other than permits.
The line item I hear of is license fees and permits that I got from the finance department. How much that's broken down into, I don't know if that includes snowplow permits or things like that.
I think it probably does because I'm thinking about our general ledger. I think there's only one category for all those fees.
But I mean, the question is, the broader the fee schedule, the clearer it is that we're not breaking even. I mean, it's not like there are components that we're not counting here.
Well, there's only so much you can charge for these things, too. I mean, these are our residents.
Well, they're residents and non-residents, but I'm not asking, I don't think we should make a profit, but I don't know why we should have a loss. I mean, as Judd points out, I mean, they have to come to Orange Village for an Orange Village permit.
In a perfect world, we would hit zero every time, but I don't think, just with the market, you know, who's building, who's not. I mean, you want to try and get as close as possible.
Well, I said you described it as get out of this hole.
Right where we're at now, and I think we're trying to get up there. Plus, I mean, if these two developments come through that are fairly large, now we're going to have more revenue coming in. you're gonna have more work, more permits. I mean, if we only have one permit, you can only get so much for it. If you have 10,000 permits, obviously.
I just wanna know what the right number is for a permit. If there's 10,000 of them, that's good too. I assume we're doing more work on 10,000 permits than we are on one permit. So, I mean, what is the right number to charge for a permit in some of these categories?
We use the other communities as the benchmark for what is the right number.
And that's what I'm asking. I mean, I don't know whether, I mean, they may have a hole also. I have no idea. I mean.
That's what I want to know. Are the other communities whom you're comparing us with, are they running behind as well? And if so, what are they doing to catch themselves up?
Well, I can speak for Moreland Hills and Pepper Pike that Pepper Pike, no.
Well, they've got a lot of building going on too.
No one.
Pepper Pike has quite
a bit. Let me answer the question. What were you saying? What were you saying? What about Pepper Pike?
Pepper Pike Pepper Pike is in the realm. I mean, give or take, you know, maybe a couple thousand dollars either way, I would say right now. I mean, I don't have actual numbers.
So they're at break even.
They're what I would consider very comfortable to their permit fees, to the amount of work they have to sustain what's going on. Moreland Hills, yeah, we're at about the same, but Moreland Hills too, we're talking a difference of 3,000 square foot houses to 12, 14, 15,000 square foot houses. It's just a different market where a house here, the permit might be $1,500. We have $5,000, $7,000 permits for one house.
I think the other thing we have to balance this with is that when individuals want to put an addition on their house or put a new roof on their house or add, you know, something like a furnace, if the fees are too high, it makes their cost. And so we're providing a service to them to provide a building department that helps inspect for and prevent theft and bad people from coming into our village. Part of it has always been supplemented by their taxes.
Well, that's exactly my point. I mean, if you've got, I mean, to the extent you were doing something that is for everybody, the taxes should pay for it. I'm comfortable with that. To the extent we're doing something for somebody, they should pay for the service. I mean, they don't have to pay for the whole budget if they're the only one who comes in a given year. That doesn't happen. We have to come up with some fees that cover the cost of our department, if not every year and if not dollar for dollar. Certainly, I hate to hear it described as we're in a big hole. I mean, I hate to hear that described as where we're at when we provide our services. That doesn't make sense to me. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
I think we should, you know, I don't know that there's a definite answer to that, but if we start getting the development that we think we're getting, I'm sure this will be more than enough, but we shouldn't not do this because we want to study it more. We can still study it more and come back for changes.
Of course you can.
And I assume this is based on, I mean, the changes are somewhat industry standard, right?
Yeah, and to back up one point, if you raise, and we saw this in other places, and I came from Lake County, if you raise certain fees too much, say for a furnace change or a panel change, you're gonna have a lot of people that just aren't gonna get a permit. You're gonna have guys that are gonna sneak it in, you know, and we can't catch them all. So if you keep the fee at least relative to what's around you at a fair fee, you're gonna get those honest people that are still gonna get that. If you start pricing it out that they're gonna take their chances, and then we're gonna lose more revenue and potentially have hazards in the village that we can't catch them all.
Well, I'm at a disadvantage because I understand there may be the putting in a furnace may require, I will call it, so little time and so little input from the village. Once we know they bought a perfectly good piece of a product and they know how to install it, fine, that fee doesn't have to, I don't know what it should be. But there are other things here that seem to me, I mean, in other words, each of these have to be looked at individually to see where our time and effort is coming from the department and therefore why the fee should be appropriate, I mean, either appropriately larger or not as large, if that's the case. I mean, to just look at what, I mean, I don't, I'm sure these other communities have. Well, I'm not. I don't know what they've done to come up with their fees, but let's assume that they have done something reasonable. I just want to know what that is.
Well, the other thing okay. I would like to just bring to the council's attention is this will be, we've just finished our first year, so we haven't even had a full calendar year yet with the MBIS running our building department. Yeah. And since they're paid as a percentage of fees, I think we're going to find our deficit is not going to be as bad.
Oh, okay.
So I think we should allow a year year or two under his belt before.
Their fees are a function of the percentage of our fees?
Yes.
Okay. And then the.
And then the percentage we keep will pay for Mary and Tom, hopefully. So we shouldn't be running such a large deficit. Am I right about that?
Yeah, because it's.
I mean, that wasn't the way it was.
That was the question.
That's the whole question. That's the whole question. At the end of the year, are we gonna have a deficit and how big is it gonna be? That's the question.
Well, I mean, the first quarter, which was only the first quarter, it was $27,839.
I know, but there's no permits being issued.
There's no permits being issued. I mean, it's until we have that, like the mayor said, until we go through a year or two to really see.
Well, now what's the 27,000 number? What is that number?
First quarter, that's how much it cost us to run the building department above and beyond the fees it brought in.
Okay, so.
But you can't go by the first quarter of the year.
I can't ignore the first quarter of the year either.
You have to, because nobody's building in the first quarter.
Nobody's putting roofs on and.
And what about the next three quarters?
Well, we're coming here to get an increase based on our benchmark communities, and then we can study all these questions. We don't have the answers to these questions because we're in the beginning of a new format.
Okay.
What would you?
A new era.
Yeah.
New era.
Exactly.
What era is that?
So, I mean, I hear you're asking really good questions, and I think they're relevant for the next go-around. I don't think they're relevant for this go-around.
And I would assume when you're making these proposals that you use your brain a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
oh, he wouldn't lie by other
No, I know, that's what I'm saying. I think we're being a little too, I think we're throwing a little too much input here. You know, this is what he does, and he's looking at the other communities, and he's using his brain as well, and he's coming up with these numbers that are not the exact same as every other community. So, I mean, we have to somewhat trust our professionals a little bit to make some changes on this because Herb, you, I, whatever, we're not the expert in everything here, and this is what he does. And if we can't trust our professionals, then we got a bigger problem here. So
I don't think it should be posed like that at all. Otherwise, we don't need any of us if our professionals can just run the village.
No, but
and the seven of us aren't necessary if it's not appropriate for us to ask the right questions. I mean, your comment, a guy comes in and tells you what he tells you, and then you just go, okay. I don't think that's,
what
we're here for.
That's how I do it.
I don't think that's what we're here for.
Let's let some other people talk.
I don't think that we need to micromanage what the departments are doing when they're doing the job they're hired to do. And to using the resources that they have available and putting together an appropriate schedule. Representative of that information. If down the road we find that there is a need for an increase in fees after we've put in place a, if you will, a base level, then we look at those areas where there's we ought to be tweaking it rather than looking at it and saying, okay.
Who's going to do that? That's what I mean, not
they,
do it now, but do it then?
They'll do it. They'll come to us and say we need to ramp this up because we're spending more time at this particular issue than we should be. I mean, there's some inspections you go on and it's almost a drive-by. There's some inspections that require a lot of of investigation and time.
That's what you have to know. I appreciate that.
To justify through the cost.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken have a comment?
I think this is a good place to begin. And then we can revisit this when we feel that we have to revisit it. But this is a good, you know, it's a great base level as far as I'm concerned. So.
I have no idea what you guys are saying. Where we are is our base level, isn't it? It's not like we haven't been charging fees for the past however many years the community existed.
I understand what you're saying, but this is what is being proposed, and I think this is where we need to start.
Huh?
I just want to gather other people's opinions for a moment, okay?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to have a dialogue.
Mr. Barron, do you have
base
an
level,
opinion?
I don't know what that means.
I just wanted to say that I think that the council is in a knowledge vacuum because we don't have data. We don't have anything to compare to. What I would propose is that the department begin now and collect data so this versus next year we can look at intelligently because we have no idea. If we're only 5% off between being zero expenses or being behind, then let's raise everything 5%. That doesn't seem to be so draconian. But if we need to raise everything 400%, that's a big difference. And we don't know yet. We don't know what it is. So we need to have some data. And would you be then in a position in a year of 12 months or 15 months post taking over to be able to say, this is where we are, this is where we were, this is what I envision my projected costs to be, and these are my revenues that are projected, and this is the wash?
I think it would be, yes, but I think you almost need to do it in two, in a 12, and a 24 month, just because of the projected projects that are planned in Orange Village. The timing may not hit in 12 months, so we still may be lagging behind a little bit in 12 months, but 24 months from now, when things are going, we're going to see a whole different set of numbers. That's just my belief from what I see that's potentially going to happen within the village. So I don't know if 12 months is enough time to get that true benchmark.
And again, we're in this vacuum. So if your feeling is that you need, because of the building cycle, more than 12 months, that's fine. But what we'd like then is to revisit this at an appropriate time with data and with facts, such as in Pepper Pike, in Bentleyville, is there a full-time or a part-time building inspector? Is it in-house or is it out-house, if you pardon
just
the,
so you know.
The double pun.
I can answer that question.
The double pun.
Because it's me.
You're looking at the Pepper Pike Building Department and the Moreland Hills Building Department.
Right, but it, what I'm just saying is that we don't have the data.
No.
We don't have the data. So if we can collect the data and we can revisit this in 24 months with all of these variables.
But after changing it to these.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just.
I have no problem. So
yeah,
that's my
proposal.
I
do thoroughly agree with you. I brought you what I could with the data I had.
Good for you. Okay.
But I mean, I don't like. I'm looking at this waterproofing.
Excuse me, Mr. Hold on. Let's let everybody have a chance for just a second.
Else.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Alfred. We've not heard from you.
No, I mean, I think I generally agree with Mr. Barron, and that we are a little bit getting off track because of. An earlier way in which we handle the building department and the deficit gap that you sort of referred to is based upon that earlier model. And now we're in a different model, right, of paying for building department services with a percentage of fees collected being the new basis, different than what it was before. So it's not a fair comparison necessarily to look at the old gap versus whatever it may be in the future. So I think this approach of simply benchmarking against, you know, comparable neighborhoods is a good one, it's a fair one, seems appropriate. And as Mr. Barron suggested, you know, come back and be able to share with us, you know, what the picture looks like in 12 months and 24 months so we'd have a better view going forward.
Okay, thank you. And I happen to agree too that we need to relook at this. I think what you've proposed is a moderate increase in a lot of them. It's not going to be a huge burden, I think, to our residents, which is important, but at the same time, let's see how it plays out. And whatever time period we decide, 12 months, maybe should be a time to look at it and then still go forward in 24 months and move on.
It should be 12 months from once these are effective.
Yes. Yeah. And then, Mr. Braverman, did you have one more question?
Well, it wasn't. I'm simply looking at the numbers, and I don't understand how they got there. For just as an example, I'm looking at the waterproofing. This is a residence one. I'm just looking at one page. I'm sure it's true on the other pages. I'm looking at waterproofing for a resident.
What page?
All right.
What
right
page?
On the first page.
First
of the
page.
Yeah. Right
of
at the residential permit fees, and so I'm looking at. So ours is $50. Was. You're proposing 60. Everybody else is higher than that except Bentleyville. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what their road use fee is. And I'm just saying, okay, if Beechwood is 100 and Pepper Pike is 75 plus 10 feet per 100 feet of pipe and Moreland Hills is $50 plus a road use fee, which you might tell me what that is, or maybe that depends. depends on the dimensions. Ours goes from 50 to 60, and I'm thinking, you know, it looks like a small raise on what we were, where we were at, but that doesn't correlate in any way.
Why don't you just ask him why he decided that?
Well, that's what I did ask.
Well, you
I did ask
with
that.
Some of the ones I changed.
That's exactly what I did ask.
You can be honest that I changed some of them.
Yeah, some of them were changed. I did meet with the mayor beforehand, and we went through, and it seemed like, I think I might have had 75 of that one. I don't have my
so
original.
So we're winging it is what you're telling me.
Pardon me?
Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you were using the best common sense given the data. I didn't want to be the highest on absolutely
common sense.
Everything.
Huh?
Yeah, common sense. I didn't want to be the highest on everything compared to our neighbors. So we went line by line, and we looked at what we were, what the others are, and where we felt comfortable being.
Right. Well, I think
and
this
some
is
of them,
I think it has
a
lot more to do with
I
the
thought.
Cost of the department than it does what's happening in Bentleyville. That's just my opinion.
Well,
and that's all I'm
look
saying.
Look how many categories there are, Herb. How is it possible to break it down into all these possible categories? I mean, we know the cost of the building department is variable based on what we collect.
I understand. I'm just
I mean,
trying to figure out where. I mean, all these years we've never charged for electric service under or over 200 amps, and all of a sudden we're putting on a $50 and a $75 charge. And I'm simply saying, where's that come from?
Let's just ask them. Electric service, why?
You mean?
Let's just ask them.
There was, I believe
well,
it was 40.
All, I did ask them. Let's ask about electric service.
Things weren't specified. I mean, a under 200 amp service is a much smaller item. It's a lot less to look at. Something that's 200 amp or larger is more technical. It's going to take more time to figure it out. Before, it was just, well, it's a miscellaneous item. We'll throw it in for $50.
So we're being more specific here, which may cause
so
more
you're,
revenue.
So you're doing it in Pepper Pike for $50, you're but
like
here you
Johnny
want to do it for 75.
Tonight.
I mean,
where do you see that?
In Pepper Pike, you're doing it for $50, but here you're the suggestion is 75. And I, you
no,
know,
it's 50.
No, it's 75.
It's 200.
Are you looking at, what are you looking at?
Yeah,
this is 50. Electric service.
Right, there's two of them. One is under 200, one is over 200.
Right.
So we're in,
because we went up to Moreland Hills is 75.
Mm. Yeah, I see that. I'm just.
I mean, you're looking for a precise scientific answer. And
well, I was looking for at least a sense of
also Pepper Pike
to the
doesn't
subject, okay?
Pepper Pike doesn't differentiate between the two either. It says service. That's it.
Excuse me?
They don't differentiate between the two in Pepper Pike. It's just service. So on that line item, it says 50 because that's what they would charge for it. They're not as specific as it should be. Because obviously if someone comes in with a 2,000 amp service, it's going to be a whole different thing to look at. You could actually break this down into 5, 6, 7 categories if you want to, but I didn't want to get carried away.
I think any 5 people could sit down with the same data and end up with something a little bit different in the last column.
I'm not saying the numbers are wrong. I'm just trying to find out how we got to them.
By comparing to these benchmarks, we didn't take into consideration how much time he takes on each thing. We did it based on what.
And
basically,
I think
the same way a contractor comes up with the cost for a building.
I think we just don't
well, that,
know.
That's, is
right
that supposed to console me?
No.
I think.
I don't have that job.
I
have
think
this
we
job.
Just don't know right now. So this is our best guess. We're going to re-examine this after we give it a whirl, and if we need to go up or down. Next year we can.
I mean, the questions you're asking could be asked about the first column. How did we ever get those numbers?
Well, yeah.
We could go back to the first column.
Well,
and talk about that.
I don't think we've ever talked about the fact that this department runs such a significant, or potentially runs a very significant deficit from year to year.
Well, Herb, I think by virtue of the fact that we've hired this firm, which is different than the way we used to run the building department, that's the administration's effort right now to more, you know, equate cost and revenues. So we've already made that effort
no,
to do
that's
that. And you're missing that fact. You're getting yourself hung up on his statement that there's this $100,000 gap. That's not a relevant comparison because we've already made an effort to close that gap through the way we've structured the cost.
What's the effort? This effort here?
No.
That we now have a cost structure that's based upon the permits, that fees that come in.
Well, but where's the $27,000? Where's the $27,000 come from?
But that's the first quarter of the year. You cannot go by the first quarter of the year. You can't make a profit in the first quarter of the year. If you're
I'm
a
not
landscaper,
looking
you
for
don't
a
make
profit.
Money until May or June.
I'm just saying, what accounts for that? I mean, where do we cover ourselves?
Because we had payroll.
I know that, but I mean, how do we cover ourselves?
We can't. We have to hope that the summer we bring in more permit fees than we have costs.
Hmm.
It's a small business.
Right, I think we've discussed this quite a bit, and we will see this on for third reading next week.
It isn't an exact science.
Kathy.
Clearly.
Let me add one point. When you adopt the ordinance, that'll be half of the work that you need to do. You will also need to adopt the, by motion, the fees that are presented. This is eliminating a change of the code, so going forward, you will be saving the cost of recodification of your fees by motion going forward.
You mean change, instead of having the code redone?
Correct.
When we go to our annual.
We save those pages, so we're gonna save you some money.
Our law director was a hurdle. We had to overcome his objections to raising the fees. We had to justify it, so he would write this ordinance.
The problem that you're facing is, tell me how many inspections you'll have 2 years out, and we'll tell you what the fee should be to cover the cost. But it's not possible. Mm-hmm. If you have a down season, you're not gonna get sufficient fees to cover your costs. It's just not gonna happen.
Well,
so you make the best guess you can, you increase it where you are, you don't charge more in fees than the cost of the service that you're providing. Mm-hmm. That's a standard that you have to comply with. And the department cannot make a, quote, profit.
No.
And so these are legally permissible, and this is the professional's recommendation today as to where you should get to. You'll have more data in 2 years as to, you know,
if it's working,
where you are at that point.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Stritchfield.
Thanks, Dave. You can go.
Next on for second reading is Ordinance 2014-21, Ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Woodbrand Realty Corporation for rates and regulations for sewage treatment in the village and related services. I see Mr. Curtis is here, and I suspect you came to talk to us about this ordinance. Would you please use the microphone to do so?
Good evening, I'm Randy Curtis from Woodbrand. What you have before you is the rules and regulations that basically mirror all the other communities we service. They've been going back and forth between different law firms that the village has hired and the village engineer over a period of several years. They've finally come before you after your law director and the engineer have asked for a few changes, which we went ahead and changed, and that's what you have before you. You're the only village that doesn't have adopted the rules and regulations that the other three communities do. So I'm here to answer any questions on anything specific.
I don't have a hard copy. Does anybody else have a
hard copy of the rules and regulations?
Yes.
I have rates and regulations.
That's it.
Rates and regulations.
Yeah, I have.
That's what it is.
I refer to them as the rules and regulations.
Sorry.
They have the rates in there, which you've already adopted, and that's what we charge based on. But these are the rules that how we operate and what we can do, what people can do. It covers different situations for if there's clean water or somebody breaks a line, you know, different things of that nature.
So I have a quick question. In this, does it have anything about rate increases? Has that changed from what we do now?
I'm sorry, there's no rate request change.
Right.
It's
does
staying.
Does it change
it's
our
it,
process in
it,
any way?
I don't believe it does, no.
This incorporates the rates that were passed before that rate agreement is in place. That ordinance is in place.
Are there any significant changes to us? What we've been using?
Well, now, what communities have already adopted this?
Pepper Pike, Beechwood, Wood, and Woodmere.
That's good enough for me, apparently.
That's the only service. That's the it. We only service
it.
The
I
four
mean, we're
communities.
In.
Sent to Mr. Alfred the red line versions that we have that compare it to the current current tariff that's in place through the PUCO, it's a lot of red that's showing up, but the substance is basically the same as what's going on in the other communities, so that allows them to operate in a uniform fashion across their service district. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
We used to be favored.
And what's your experience with people making complaints in the other communities?
Well, if anybody has a complaint, they generally call our office. If it's about a bill, we, of course, investigate it. If it's about backups or service or something like that, we'll generally send out a crew. We notify the people in advance that if they say their line is backed up. If it's from the clean out to the street or it's the main, it's our headache. If it is from the clean out to the house, it's their headache, their expense. But we'll send somebody out there to investigate it. So, I mean, those are the biggest complaints we have. Hey, I've got a backup. They find out that their kid might have thrown a dish towel down the toilet, or things of that nature.
Do you have any disputes that have gone through dispute resolution?
Nothing, no, that I can remember right off the top of my head.
Anybody else have questions for Mr. Curtis?
You couldn't hear me. You can't remember anything. Is that what you're telling me?
This will be
happens
on
when you reach my age,
third reading next week, so here's our opportunity. Anybody on this side of the room? Any more questions? Okay, well, thank you so much for coming tonight. We appreciate that.
Thank you for your time.
Questions. Next is Ordinance 2014-22, an ordinance granting a fence yard variance to Jamie and Chris Newman for property located at 29750 North Hilltop Road. This is on for second reading. It was sent to planning and zoning and so approved at their September 23rd meeting.
It's set for public hearing for next Wednesday, and you will have
at 8:01
or 8.
Or 8, okay.
Yeah. And you will have conclusions of fact to you by the end of this week. The recommendation was to grant the variance.
Thank you. This variance comes about because of site conditions at the residence. Where this house is located on North Hilltop, they have a significantly wet area in the backyard that would be the area where this would normally be enclosed. They want to have a place where they can allow their dogs and kids to run around without having to go through a rather muddy and low area that has some drainage issues. And so they have asked to have this variance to allow the fence to occur closer to the street than would be normal for the location. Part of the problem is it's a corner lot, and we recognize that. And the other piece of it is that there is a septic field, a septic system that this thing has to get around. So we recommended that it be approved.
I'd like council to be aware that notice was sent to all neighbors within a certain distance. I can't remember if that was 12 or 15 neighbors. Three responded that they were in favor of it, and nobody else showed up or protested.
How much closer is it?
3. Straight and then you take a right, it's on the corner just
the
to the
house.
Left. Yeah. Old Rahamin house.
Oh yeah. They don't live there anymore, huh?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have any questions? So this will be on for third reading next week also. We'll have our conclusions of fact Monday to look over, and for new council people, because the conclusions of fact are private.
They'll be out to you before Monday. They have to be out to you by Friday.
Okay.
So I'll be sending them to you via email.
Thank you. If you have any questions or comments about those conclusions of fact, you need to contact the law director directly, and they are not to be shared with the public until after we vote on them. So there'll be no discussion about the conclusions of fact unless we have them through the law director prior. Okay. All right. Any other questions about it? Next, then, we'll move on to new business, ordinance 2014-23, an ordinance amending section 114206A6 of the codified ordinances of Orange Village to permit the publication of notices of public hearings of variances via posting such notices on the village website. This is on for first reading. Mayor, do you want to introduce this?
Well, instead of paying to put it in the paper, and especially given that we give direct notice to all affected and nearby properties, the law director suggested, and I agreed, that it made sense for us to fulfill this requirement of notice by not having to pay to put it in the newspaper. And sometimes when we're close on time and we have to do it in the plain dealer, that's costly. And we're just asking to be able to put it on the website as to take care of our notice requirement.
Just out of curiosity, do you know what we spent last year on notices?
Mary might know better than I do.
It's probably about $50 for every meeting that we have to post a notice. So like 600.
Has the law been changed to allow this alternative?
You're a home rule government. You get to do what you want.
I know I'm a home rule government, but I don't want litigation over it.
You're not going to get litigation. You can provide, first of all, you're providing superior notice through the personal, the people directly abutting the property. They get actual mailed notice.
But in fact, the state hasn't changed its law on this.
The state does have provisions regarding publication via website. This is probably a little more aggressive than that.
It looked a little more aggressive.
But
yeah. All right. I mean, let me rephrase the question. What's Moreland Hills doing?
I don't know.
That right. Joke's old.
Anybody have any opinions?
If we chose, in addition to using the website as the official mechanism of notice, are we also able to use other, social media channels to communicate similar information? Is that
allowed? You could. It would not be required by this ordinance as currently drafted.
You mean in addition to?
In addition to this being the threshold,
and you want to post it on your Facebook page and stuff.
Just wondered if we wish to do that as another way to make sure that the audience.
As currently drafted, the ordinance would not require that, but it would be permissible.
That's why you want to. Seems like a reasonable practice to consider, Mayor, when we get to this point.
Has anybody been watching our Facebook page?
If they make a statement, it comes up on mine. Yeah, I like that.
If you're following it,
yeah.
You saw the agenda.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I am about 10 years behind the times, so.
I was just on Twitter. I must have missed it.
I don't think you've liked it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Do we have a MySpace page?
Yeah, that would require a time machine to go back about 15 years.
Back. You didn't know that?
Yeah, for a very niche audience, as I understand.
You know people who want to come to Councilman Scarrett.
Yeah, that's a
all
very
right.
Small niche.
I think we'll move on.
Not that niche, yeah.
Next is ordinance 2014-24, an ordinance granting a front yard setback variance to Brian Schroer for property located 29800 Emery Road. This is on for first reading. We'll refer this to planning and zoning. You haven't looked at it yet, right?
Right, but can I tell you, I've told you about this before. There was those vacant parcels on Emery Road
yep.
that could not get a septic system, and so they were gonna be
non-buildable lots, and,
Are those the ones next to the
garden? Yeah, well, some on, some, there's a half, there's
yeah,
two,
yeah, but
and there's
like
a house,
right there, yeah,
and then there's more.
Okay.
And, oh, I hate this microphone. And, the builder, Premier Builders, who's building it for this gentleman who's the owner, had a soil engineer come out and do a study of the property and determined that there was soil that could absorb the septic, but that would mean that the house had to be moved up 20 feet. And, this place is sweet. Anyways, the Board of Health agreed, and they sent a letter saying that they have approved that they could put the septic in if we allow the setback to come up 20 feet. I've talked about this at planning and zoning, and I brought it up here once, and everybody that has reacted to me seems to be very supportive of the fact that it's either move them up 20 feet for those four lots, although we're only dealing with one, or make those properties unusable.
That's right. Crazy.
So that certainly is a hardship.
So,
Who owns those properties?
Well, this one is owned by this person, Brian Shore.
Oh.
It's a little confusing to me who owns the others because they've been in litigation, they've changed hands a few times. I can't really follow the trail.
Fair. Hmm. Some guy who was indicted, did he own them for a while? I think so. Some guy who was indicted. I don't know. I think
and then when he was doing
and then he ran the country. Didn't he move to like, I don't know, somewhere?
It's got, but it has a
Keter,
story,
joined ISIS.
Yeah.
That's very weird.
I think it was the old white property.
Yeah, but it hasn't been for many years.
All right. Anyways, planning and zoning has a little bit of work to do on this, and we will be doing our due diligence on this variance request. We'll need conclusions of fact.
Oh.
We'll need to set a public hearing. We'll
yeah.
need to contact the one homeowner, make sure he doesn't.
No, there'll
check.
Be more. It's people across the street and people behind.
So there's our due diligence to be
okay.
done. Your due diligence to be done. Okay.
Oui.
Okay.
That's okay. I like that. We're in it together.
Next is Ordinance 2014-25, an ordinance adding a new section 125.23, dispatch FEMA grant fund to the codified ordinances for Orange Village. This is on for first reading. Mayor, would you like to introduce
I this? Would be happy to, and we're going to ask that you suspend the rules and pass it next week because this is requested by the auditor. That $784,000 grant that Nick DeSico got on behalf of the Chagrin Valley Dispatch Center communities, which is in the name of Orange Village and will be run through our books. And just recently you passed a motion allowing me to sign checks above my spending authority to keep that moving. The auditor has told the finance director that this needs to be in its own separate fund.
Can we do it tonight?
You can do it tonight.
Well, I move to suspend
the
rules.
Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Barron. Mary, will you call the roll for suspension of the rules for Ordinance 2014-25, please?
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you. Next, I need a motion to adopt 2014-25, please.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Thank you, Mr. Alfred.
Can I just ask Mr. Bloom if I said everything that needed to be said?
Okay, so.
This is just a new line item on the books to pick up this money, that's all.
That's all.
That's all it is.
It's just a
new line item. It's just a new line item, place to put the money.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the auditors objected to?
No, they insist that we do it.
Okay.
Of course.
Got it. Anybody else have questions? All right, Mary?
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes, thank you. I think we'll skip audience comments, unless we want to listen to Space Invaders for a minute. We'll move on to comments by council members. I'll start with you, Mr. Duber.
I actually don't think I have that many today. So.
What's he saying?
I guess I'll move. I don't know, mumbling.
I
don't think I have any comments, really.
Thank you, Mr.
So
Duber.
Pass.
Those are the sounds of a newly engaged man.
Mr. Barron?
I have no comments this evening.
Thank you. Mr. Braverman?
I only want to make an excuse for the many residents who normally come to our meetings. You know, tonight was the LeBron comes onto the court at the Gund for an open practice, no charge. So most of our people are probably down there, and I think the record should note that the usual quorum isn't present.
Yep. Thank you. Mrs. Cluder?
No comment, except to wish Brandon officially a congratulations on his engagement.
Yeah. Officially, thank you.
And Mr. Klein?
I would add to Mrs. Cluder's comments, and to Brandon, congratulations. I do want to add a couple things to update the council on some things I'm involved with. Number one, as a follow-up to the the Chagrin Boulevard traffic signalization plan, a public meeting was held here by ODOT last month. It was reasonably well attended, mostly by members of the Woodmere community, but there were others from Orange and Beechwood and so on. The project was introduced. The engineering is now going to proceed. It is underway with the idea that the project will get under construction next year. There's some long lead items that create time delays on this that they're going to try to circumvent in order to expedite the development, in particular the signals and some of the hardware for the system are not shelved items, and they have to be produced for the project individually, so they take time to get. In the meantime, however, I've spoken with Mayor Smith in Woodmere about the idea of utilizing some of the signal sequencing that we've talked about in the process that may add some relief to at least the Brainerd Chagrin intersection right away, and they're going to look into making that change. So we may see within the next few weeks a change in signalization at Brainerd and Chagrin that may make that intersection experience less frustrating.
That'd be awesome.
So that's the first thing I wanted to bring up. The second is, as I mentioned some time ago, Representative Barnes has initiated a joint economic development group consisting of the member communities of the 12th Ohio District. He and I met again this morning with some interns that are from Walsh University. They're going to begin to do some economic development survey work to establish some baseline information that can be used for some economic development strategies that all of these communities can benefit from. So that's starting to move forward with the idea that there'll be potential opportunities to enhance our interrelationship with the other communities of the district, along with several adjacent communities that are not part of the district. They've reached out to Beechwood, Shaker Heights, and Bedford to also be part of the group. And that's all I have to say.
You want
to
give a report from yesterday's meeting?
I'll let you talk about updating Pinecrest. If you like. I don't have to say everything.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Klein. Mr. Alfred?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to also update the council on a couple of different meetings, organizations to which I have participated in on for Orange. The Chagrin River Watershed Partners had their quarterly meeting. Nothing really of specific note that was important, but we are continue to be represented there. There is a new executive director of that organization who started sometime during the summer, and I met her. She seems like a very competent person, and I think that organization will continue to do good work. We do have Bob works extensively with them on appropriate types of projects. They are instituting a small 1% annual membership dues increase, but that's what they've been doing every year, and for us it amounts to about $6 or something like that over the course of the year, so that's kind of a non-issue. A second organization to which I have attended a series of meetings is called Building One Ohio, which is a effort to create an advocacy group that takes a region-wide perspective on infrastructure, physical infrastructure, roads and such. The idea of trying to create a regional voice, an organized regional voice for transportation infrastructure was mostly driven by the pending federal transportation bill, which was coming due for Congress to look at this fall. Congress, in its usual style, kicked the can down the road and basically extended the, or moved the deadline out and kind of maintain a constant level of funding until next spring sometime. So they'll take up a new transportation bill at that point. But there is a continuing effort to try to bring all of the different communities and suburbs into some sort of regional organization to kind of coordinate advocacy efforts. I'm a little bit skeptical of whether this will really go forward successfully. I tend to think it's kind of redundant of other advocacy organizations that are looking at similar sorts of things.